Gardening with Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World.
And of course, every Wednesday afternoon, we look forward to catching up with Gav, who joins us on the line here this afternoon. Hello, Gav.
Me too. Hello. Hello on this overcast afternoon.
Just wondering, Gav, how'd you go yesterday with the weather?
Oh, don't ask. Oh, you just did. Oh, hideous. It was absolutely hideous. It was one of those ones where you put something up and then you turn around and 5 seconds later it falls over again.
Yeah, it was very windy and the wind chill factor was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, look admittedly, I really am not a person that would feel the cold at all. But I do feel the wind, and I don't like wind in a nursery at all. It's sort of like a nurseryman's worst scenario is either a hideously windy, gusty, windy day or a hailstorm. It's one or the other.
Yes. Well, at least we were warned about it as well. I mean...
absolutely, yeah.
They were saying that this polar blast was coming, and it certainly arrived in spades, didn't it?
It certainly did, and it's just so terribly gusty, so it drops down, and you think, oh, that's great, and you go and pick a few things up, and the next minute another gust flies through and blows it all down again. So in the end, I just put my hands in the air and said, look, we'll just wait till later this afternoon.
Yeah, considering I haven't really been outside for a while, what's happening out there at the moment? Is the wind still there?
No, completely gone. It's as still as... But now it's just completely overcast. It's like a different afternoon than it was this morning. This morning I thought it was going to start out like yesterday, and then by lunchtime I walked outside and all the clouds had started to roll in, and now it's just dark and overcast.
Yeah, okay.
But the wind has gone.
Thank heavens.
So, for now. I mean, we are coming up to probably what's renowned as the windiest month of the year, which is August. I always used to talk about the August westerly, so we've got that to look forward to in the near future.
Yeah. Speaking of wind, I know one thing's for sure, that realistically, roses don't necessarily like the wind too much, do they?
Well, they get a little bit burnt, especially more in summer than winter. Of course, they're bare at this time of year, so really the August westerlies make no difference to them at all. But it's when you get those really, really hot 40-degree days in January where you do get that wind coming from inland. They always call it the furnace of inland Australia. When they come across, it can burn the foliage. So you always have to make sure in summer that you give them a good soak first thing in the morning, not at night after all the damage has already been done.
Yes, I know that you've spoken about that it's important that you at least water them between, what was it, the hours between 10 and 2?
We always avoid between 10 and 2. You've either got to get in first thing in the morning or after
2 o'clock, yes.
But okay. If you know that it's going to be a hideously windy day, you're far better off to get in the morning, because by the time you get there in the afternoon, the damage has probably already been done.
Yes, well, that's probably right too, yeah. Now, it is July, and it's that time of the month, and I guess this time of the year as well, where it's a good idea to start pruning back those roses.
That's right. Now is the time. July is always the best month to do it. They're dormant. They should have the last of the flowers off them. The last of the leaves especially after this cold blast, should be just about to come off. So now is the perfect time to get them set up for summer. And that's exactly what you're doing by cutting them back in winter, is giving you a good display through summer. Now, some of the tips I've written down here, and I know we don't have a great deal of time, so I've written this all down in point version, is to firstly envisage a vase. You want to get that open vase. You want to create that open center, and which is why the first step they always tell you to do is when you're trimming them back, always trim to an outward bud. Now, a bud, people would know, is where the foliage comes from. The buds you'll see very, very easily going up the stem. Generally, alternately, one will face inwards, one will face outwards, and so forth up the stem. Now, you cut them back roughly two-thirds of the stem. So whatever the length is, and this is roughly, I mean, you don't go out there with a ruler, but roughly two-thirds of that stem to just above an outward-facing bud. Now, this is all to encourage that vase shape. So all the little twiggy spikes and branches that are on them. Take all those off because they're never going to get you a good lot of flowers. So you're trying to create just a framework, if you like, a vase framework. So two-thirds down, outward-facing bud, and they always tell you to make sure it's on a bit of an angle. So it's generally an angle away from the bud. Now, that's because when you cut them back, you're actually creating a wound, just like any other wound. And, of course, if water or moisture or even any type of moisture that sits on them will create what they call dieback. And that's when, after you cut them back, the stems start to die down. And you've got to make sure that, well, preferably that doesn't happen by doing them on a bit of an angle. Now, that'll make sure that the skin, or if you liken it to a person, the skin gets that coverage very, very quickly after you cut it, before you run the risk of any contamination going in. Now, when we're talking about that too, another tip is to make sure you've got a cup of, say, metho, something like that there, that you can, methylated spirits, that you can dip your secateurs in between roses, because for those people that are really into their roses, you don't want to accidentally cross-contaminate one plant from another. Now, some of these things on roses you just wouldn't see to the naked eye. So it's always a good idea to dip the end of the secateurs between bushes, not between cuts, but just between bushes, and make sure that whatever's on one doesn't get transferred to the next. And it's as simple as just having a little glass jar or something, or a little a margarine container with a bit of methylated spirits in it, that you can just dip the end of those secateurs in to give them a bit of a clean between bushes. That's the most important thing with that. The other thing, going back to this dieback thing, is you don't want to cut them back when it's going to rain. Again, you don't want moisture getting in that freshly cut surface. You want to give it at least 24 hours before it then rains. Just like people, they can get like a film over that cut reasonably quick, but it takes about 24 hours. Now, you do not want to get rain on that. Otherwise, I'll guarantee you, you'll start to get, as I said, this hideous thing called dieback, where the stem just slowly goes black down underneath. Now, if you are unfortunate to get that, make sure you then cut it again below that so that it can't go any further. Very, very important.
Okay. Yeah, some good advice there, especially with the methylated spirits too.
So, yes, and then if you really want to make sure you get no problems after you've cut it, there's a fabulous product called lime sulfur, which is the best product on the market to give a freshly cut rose a spray with. You generally do it twice, the day you cut it and about a fortnight later, and that will literally protect the plant. Smells an awful lot like rotten egg gas, but it will do a fabulous job, and it will stop your roses from either getting that dye back or just getting basically anything else through the winter months. Now, as I said, the whole idea of this is to create a fabulous plant for summer. Now, the one thing you want to do in summer is to always make sure you trim off the old flowers, because, of course, as we know, the more old flowers that get trimmed off, the more the plant knows to produce replacement ones.
Yes.
Otherwise, people that have got old roses there with the old rose hips, which is the fruit of the rose that just sit there, will just eventually stop flowering. And that's because the plant just won't produce any new ones until you take those old ones off. So now, when it comes to spring, usually 2 to 3 weeks after trimming them, make sure you get yourself a good rose food. Now, there's so many on the market. Sudden Impact, there's Searles do a very good one. Every brand has a really good rose food. Give them a good rose food, which basically tells them at the start of August, a big kick in the pants to get moving for spring, and that will make a huge difference. That'll really get them moving.
Okay, well, there you go. Some plenty of advice when it comes to pruning your roses, firstly. And as Gav was saying there, now is the time to do that. Make sure that you think of the vase when you're doing it, which is it's just really good advice. So just keep a vase.
You don't want crossing branches.
Yes, yes.
That's one thing you always avoid is that crossing branches. It also allows, of course, airflow through the centre of the plant. So when you get that very humid weather in January and February, you've still got a bit of airflow through the centre, which again will cut down your need to spray for different diseases that roses tend to get.
And of course, the lime sulphur is another good thing that you know, people may not realise that you do after you've pruned your roses, is make sure you give them a good spraying of lime sulphur as well, which is a good bit of advice too, Gav.
I would definitely do that. I would do it twice, as I said, a fortnight apart. That'll save you a whole lot of problems later on down the track.
Now, just a quick question before you go. So if we have our listeners who unfortunately get behind with the time and then they start maybe pruning their roses in early August, is that still okay?
Look, I prefer the month of July. If I had my way, all roses would get cut back in July, whether it be the first week of July or the last week of July. First week of August really isn't going to make any difference because, let's face it, the weather doesn't know when you've changed over to another month. So it's not going to know that we've changed over to another month. So it's really not going to make that much difference. Don't do it too much later than that because, of course, the rose will want to start to grow for spring. And every year, of course, spring starts at a different time. Sometimes it's the middle of August. Sometimes it's not till the end of August. But you don't want to get caught where you suddenly go out to do it and say, hang on a minute, all my rose buds have started to shoot out and the rose is suddenly shooting. You want to get into it before that.
Okay. No doubt in the coming weeks down there at Lee Rowans, you'll have some new stocks of roses coming in.
I have. Look, and if anybody is unsure, I can actually show them the stem, how it's been cut just above the bud on an angle. And, yeah, it's sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words, so I could always do that if need be.
Absolutely. Now, a couple of things before we go. Your website has been updated down there at Lee Rowans. You were telling us last week your website.
Oh, it has. We've got a fabulous website now, www.leerowans.com.au. It's got everything on there, and it's all been redone and up to date. You can actually order direct from that now, and it makes it a lot easier. Yeah, very, very good. Very updated.
Okay, for those who would like further tips and also maybe a quick demonstration on how to prune their roses properly, they want to know exactly where Lee Rowans is. Can you explain where you are, just in case they don't know?
Absolutely. We're on the bottom end of Hillsborough Road, 381 Hillsborough Road, which is right down the Warners Bay end of Hillsborough Road. If anybody knows it, it goes all the way from Charlestown down to Warners Bay. We're right at the Warners Bay end, big double-story building, great cafe. Come in and have a coffee, and then I can show you how to do it.
Sounds fantastic. Well, as always, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for all your tips there on pruning roses and getting your roses prepared for yet another rose season. And we're going to catch up with you same time next Wednesday afternoon. Gav?
I shall look forward to it.
There he is. Some really good advice there. I like the methylated spirits. What he was saying there about your secateurs. I haven't really heard of that one before. So there's some really good beneficial advice there when it comes to pruning your roses in the month of July. And look forward to catching up with Gav same time next week.